Welcome to another dynamic word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to be opening our Bibles up to Luke chapter 24. Are you ready for the word? All right. Luke chapter 24, we are going to continue the story. And so that's what the title of our message is, The Story Continues. Y'all remember, since Easter, and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, we have been following along in Luke chapter 24 to see what happened on Resurrection Day. And in chapter 24, this, I believe, is our third part to this series. First, we talked about hope deferred. Then we discussed hope rekindled last Wednesday. Tonight, we're talking about the story continuing because we are still on Resurrection Day. A lot happened on Resurrection Day. A lot happened on the day that Jesus rose from the dead victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. A lot happened. And here the story continues. And it was early in the morning. Do you remember? You know, the third day after Jesus had been crucified. Early in the morning, just before sunrise. Jesus had been buried in a garden tomb that was close to Mount Calvary where he was crucified. And all of a sudden there was an earthquake. And an angel rolled that big stone that had sealed the tomb. An angel rolled that big stone away and Jesus came out of the tomb alive. As I said, victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And the Roman soldiers that were there guarding the place because there was a rumor that he was going to be raised from the dead. No one believed that, not even his disciples. But they imagined that someone might come and steal his body and claim that he had been raised from the dead. And so they put guards there. These Roman soldiers, the Bible says, they fell silent. They were unable to resist all that was going on, and Jesus walked out of that grave unhindered on that Sunday morning, that resurrection day. Well, the first person he appeared to was Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Mary had come early before sunrise. She was bringing spices so that she could anoint what she believed would be the dead body of Jesus. She was looking for the dead body of Jesus. You know, and what she wanted to do? She was wanting to make the dead body smell better. Do you know, isn't that a picture of some folks going to church? That's what she was doing. She was going to the body of Christ. She was going to a garden tomb, worshiping, wanting to worship a dead Jesus. Looking, expecting nothing to happen, not expecting any miracles, not expecting any signs and wonders, not expecting any word from God. She was only expecting to find the dead body of Christ that, you know, they put in the grave. But to her surprise, Jesus was alive. Jesus appeared unto her first. And then later, he appeared unto some of the other women that came along to be with her and to properly anoint this dead body so that it would smell a little better and go through a better natural decomposition of the body of Christ. Wow, if that's not picturesque, we don't have time to get into that, but there is so much you could unpack there if you happen to meditate and draw references, overlays from the Word of God. And so, shocked that he was alive, they ran back as they were told, and Mary was told, go and tell my disciples. So she ran back to where these 11 disciples were, and she told them that Jesus was alive, and they did not believe her. Of course, you know, Peter and John ran to the tomb, and but they did not see Jesus. So, you know, it was something that they didn't know. They didn't know. Mary had first asked, you know, Jesus, when she didn't know it was him, you know, she thought he was a gardener. Oh, where have you taken his body? I came. Well, I know you're, you know, seeking Jesus. The angels would say later, but he's not here. He is risen. Wow. Well, later that same day, on that same Sunday, later in the day, there were two men, as we have read about the last two Wednesday nights, there were two men walking on the road to Emmaus. We see them in Luke chapter 24. One of them, their name was Cleopas. We don't know the other one's name. But we do not imagine that the other one was one of the 12 disciples that had walked with Jesus. But we rather imagine both of them to have been of a larger group of disciples that had walked with Jesus during his earthly life and ministry. You know, there were more than 12. There was a whole group, one group of at least 70. You can read about that in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and in Luke, the 10th chapter. But these two guys were walking along the road, a 7-mile journey. The reason that they were walking on a Sunday, because Sunday was the first day of the week. Saturday was the Sabbath. They could not have done this on Saturday, but on Sunday, the first day of the week, it was not against the Jewish law for them to make a longer journey. And so they were walking to a town called Emmaus that is towards Tel Aviv from Jerusalem, through some real up and down hills. Some of you have been there with me, and you know, there's a great, wonderful Lebanese restaurant right there in Emmaus that I try to stop and eat at every time I can. And just to imagine these men walking to that city. And Jesus joined them. He became their uninvited traveling companion. And so he joins them on this walk, and he asks them, what is it that you're talking about? What are you discussing as you walk together and looking so sad? And the two men basically exclaimed, oh, you know, we're talking about the news, the things that happened. I mean, and Jesus said, what things? He made as though he wanted them to explain what they were discussing and why they were sad. And they begin to tell him, you know, are you the only person around that does not know what happened in Jerusalem just 3 days ago? How the religious Jewish leadership, along with the Roman government, came into a conspiracy and conspired and crucified Jesus of Nazareth? You don't know about that? You know, while they are telling Jesus about this, we pick up in Luke 24 and verse 21, this is them continuing. You know, they killed Jesus. And these two men now talking said, but we were hoping that it was Jesus. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. You know, we were hoping. That's where we've left off each evening in the last two Wednesdays, where people were hoping. We were hoping, we're not now, but we were. But now our hope is gone. We have no more hope. Why? Because circumstances change. Situations change. What we thought would happen didn't happen. And whenever what we want to happen does not happen, we can get disappointed. We can get, you know, derailed. We can get detoured. We can get disillusioned. We can get angry and upset and confused. And that's where these men were. We were hoping. Now we are not. Things did not turn out the way we expected. And that's why we're so sad. You know, Jesus had a purpose in talking to these two men. He showed up to them on purpose. We don't have any record of others that he may have showed up to in the interim. But we do have a record of him in the afternoon. The reason I know this would have been in the afternoon sometime on that Sunday is because it was about a 2.5 to 3 hour walk, those 7 miles. Let's imagine 3 hours. Well, they are going to get to Emmaus, to their house, just before evening. So this was probably somewhere along about 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon, on the Sunday that Jesus had been resurrected. And so Jesus walks with them the rest of the way. The reason that he showed up to these two men is because he needed them. He needed them to be the next witnesses that would go and tell the disciples that he's alive. Because Jesus has not appeared to them yet. He will appear to them before we conclude Matthew 24. But as yet, the 11 disciples had not seen him yet. Why didn't Jesus appear to them first? I don't know. Got no idea. But I do know that he sent the women to tell them. And then, he's going to send these two men to tell them again. Jesus had a purpose. He needed them to believe. He needed to restore their hope because he was hoping that their hope would rekindle Peter and James and Nathanael and Bartholomew and Thomas. He was hoping that these two credible disciples, these two men who evidently were followers of Jesus, he was hoping that their word would give hope to the disciples. That's often the reason that Jesus comes and encourages you. Jesus often gives you hope because he knows that you have the power to impact someone else's hope. Jesus will bless you because he knows that when he blesses you, you could be a blessing to someone else. When he encourages you, you can be an encouragement. When he gives you joy, you can spread seeds of joy to others. That's why God encourages us many times. It's not just so we can be encouraged, which that is powerful and good, but it's so we can be an encouragement to others. So I know the folks listening can't hear this, but somebody is riding their bike series. It made me want to ride a bike all of a sudden. So, but these men couldn't see a better day. How in the world can you encourage somebody when you have no courage? How can you encourage somebody else when you can't even encourage yourself? Whenever you're down and you're worried and you're afraid and you're frustrated and you're angry and you're hurt and you're upset, how in the world can you carry a good message to someone when there's nothing good on the inside of you? There's no hope here. Well, these two men, we know they were good men. We know they were godly men. But they were going the wrong direction in life. They were going away from where Jesus wanted them. They were going away from Jerusalem. Jesus needed them to go back to Jerusalem. They were going the wrong way, and they had the wrong message. They had a message of Jesus is dead. Didn't you know? They killed him. Jesus wanted them to change their message. He's alive. Didn't you know he raised from the dead? He wanted them to do a 180 and have a better message, a different message, and go a different direction in life. Listen, even though they were good and godly, they were going the wrong way with the wrong word. But nonetheless, even though they were going the wrong way with the wrong word, guess what? Jesus was with them. In life, whenever you are going the wrong way with the wrong word because you've been disappointed, because circumstance situations didn't turn out the way you thought they would, and you're going the wrong direction, listen, Jesus is still with you. Jesus is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He might spend a lot of time walking with you, even with you walking the wrong direction. Come on now, this was an important time. This was Resurrection Day. Jesus only had one of these. And where he spent it was pretty important. and he spent it. Evidently, he spent a long time with these two guys because they're walking to Emmaus. He goes all the way with them, listening to them and talking to them. Luke 24, verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther. This is so interesting to me. Do you know that Jesus often, we see other places in the Word where Jesus was walking by the boat when the disciples were trying to get to the other side and they were rowing hard and the wind was contrary, and Jesus came walking on the water and made as though he was going to pass them by. And they cried out, Jesus, come on, hey. He acted like he was going. Well, here Jesus would have gone. He would have went on. He would have walked on. Oh, my goodness. To think that Zacchaeus could have missed Jesus had he not been in that tree on that day. He could have thought, I got a chance later. He'll come back. He comes through here every year. No, this was the last time, buddy. It's critical to me to imagine that these men could have missed it had they not invited Jesus into their house. They could have missed it. I mean, that's the indication as I read it just in surface value. He made as though he would have gone on. And they reached where they were going. And, Jesus is still waiting for some people to invite him into their house, into their life, into their family, into their job, into their business. He may ride all the way to work with you only for you to leave him at the gate. Oh, come on. This is good stuff. He may go all the way to work with you only for you to shut the door and leave him out of the classroom. Boy, this is good stuff. Okay. Verse 29, but they constrained him. Boy, there is an interesting thing. Get this picture. They constrained him, saying, no, stay with us, abide with us, come in with us, spend the night with us, for it is toward evening. See there, we know about what time it is. It's toward the evening. It's somewhere 5 o'clock-ish or so. It's getting close to 6 o'clock, getting close to sundown. It's getting close to the next day here. Okay? It's getting close to supper time because traditionally they're going to eat dinner, just towards the late evening before sundown. They will be eating and the sun. It's kind of a tradition here. So they constrained him. They encouraged him. They drew him. What did they do? They were talking to him along the way. And when they got to the house, they started to go in, and he acted like he was going on. And then they remembered their manners. They remembered that there is a social law in Israel. The social law says that you cannot leave a stranger outside. If a stranger comes to your city, you need to invite them in and you need to help take care of them. You need to be careful to entertain strangers. For some people, the scripture says, entertain angels unaware. Be careful to entertain strangers. Be nice and kind to strangers. I mean, you remember even Lot would not let those angels that came to Sodom and Gomorrah stay outside. No, he compelled them. He constrained them. He encouraged them. No, come in, come in, come in. Because it is a social law. It was a social understanding. You raised your children to understand that you're kind to strangers. And if a stranger comes into your city, that you go ahead and reach out to them. You be kind to them. And so here in this culture, in this custom, these men had been taught, take care of, feed them, bring them in, give them a room to sleep in. I mean, we see this, even in the, for the prophets, this just, Elijah was, they made a room for him, Okay, it's important. So the Bible says the day was far spent and Jesus went in to stay with them. He said, okay, he'll always come in when you invite him. Always. Okay. And it is important that we not forget our manners. How you raise your children makes a difference. Okay? These men were evidently raised to be conscious of their social laws and their social needs and their commitment that God had instructed them to make sure that you are kind to strangers, despite their own hurts, despite their heartaches, despite their brokenness at that moment, despite all the problems they had in their life. They nonetheless turned their attention to the problem that this man had, and that was he was going to be outside in a strange city, and he was going to be without anything to eat, without any place to stay. And they remembered their manners. Manners make a difference. Despite the pain that these two men were going through, the disappointments, despite their personal concerns, they looked to the needs of someone else. That's pretty big. You know, the pain you feel may be the worst pain ever, but not to others. Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Your pain might not matter as much to others as it does to you. How could I say that? Because their pain probably doesn't matter as much to you as yours. Hello? Do you know what makes pain matter? It's my pain. That's the pain that matters most. Oh, yes, many people are going through things much more difficult than we are. But that doesn't mean that their pain is the pain that we are feeling. We care and we love and we're concerned, but always realize that the pain you're going through is your pain. Someone else is also going through pain. And the pain in this situation of a stranger being left outside without anything to eat, without anywhere to stay, and it was coming nighttime, had to be important in that moment, as important or even in some ways more important, as the Bible says, look not to your own needs, but also to the needs of others. So they had to just set their pain, their problems, their heartbrokenness, their delusion, their confusion, their disconcertion. They had to set it aside for a moment, remember their manners, and say, "Can I help you?" This is what got Joseph out of prison in Egypt. Is he cared enough? He had been sold into slavery. He had been done wrong. He had been lied to and put in prison by a woman that lied that he tried to rape her. And while he's in prison, the king's cupbearer and the king's baker both got put in jail. And when Joseph, who was a trustee, went by their cell, he stopped and asked them why they were sad. Hold on. I got so much sadness, I don't have time to listen to your sadness. Let me tell you what happened to me. I was sold by my brothers into slavery. They wanted to kill me. No, he didn't do that. He said, "What is your problem? Why are you here? How can I help you? Let me interpret your dream for you." Job. Do you don't think Job had problems? He had plenty of problems. But do you know when his problems got better? It's when he began to pray for his friends. The Bible says, "And when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord turned his captivity." Wow. Man, if we cannot get a more clear picture of this, is that sometimes when all we want to talk about is us and our pain, and it's true and it's real, and it's a bigger pain than just staying outside or missing a meal. But not to the person who's staying outside and missing a meal. Okay, enough said. The pain you feel, as I said, it's real. But what makes your pain and your disappointment real is that it's yours. Don't allow your pain to make you feel others have no right to theirs. Don't allow your pain to make you feel like others have no right to their own pain. These two men remember their manners. They invited Jesus in. They must have been raised right. It does matter how you raise your kids. You know, a few things would have happened there, by the way. It looks as though that Jesus said, okay, and he went in and there was bread there. But that, no. A few things would have happened here. Go with me. Not everything can be recorded here, but we must understand that the Jewish culture, custom, and tradition did not allow them to eat before they washed. They invited him in to spend the night. So when they walked into the house, they would have said to him, you know, here's your room, okay? And you can get ready. And he would have gone into the room and he would have, refreshed himself and washed himself. They would have offered him water for his feet, most likely, and for his hands. And they might have had to have drawn the water or brought the water or made the room ready or whatever. And then in the course of time, bread was set out to eat. And in the Jewish culture and custom today, still, bread is considered the meal. Whatever you have, when you have bread, you have had a meal. And so this literally, it's talking about them having a meal together. And dinner would have taken place traditionally, you know, just before the closing of the day, just before sundown. Can you put yourself in that place and imagine? Verse 30. Now it came to pass, as they sat at the table, as Jesus sat at the table with these two men, that he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Man, this is one of the most marvelous messages in all the Word of God to me. And it's repeated over and over and over again. It was repeated at the Last Supper. It was repeated with the fish and loaves. It's repeated everywhere. We can see, number one, you read in that verse, number one, he took bread. Jesus took the bread. Wow. He took the bread. And then the scripture says the second thing he did is he blessed the bread. You know, perhaps in Hebrew, maybe in Aramaic. I can't do it in Aramaic. Pastor Ken can do it in probably Greek and Hebrew or Aramaic. But he would have said, you know, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. You know, blessed, you know, be the Lord God, you know, the oneness, the ruler of the universe, the ruler of heaven and earth, you know. Hamotzi lechem, you know, for giving us the bread, lechem. It's Bethlehem, house of bread. Beit lechem, lechem, bread. Who gives us the bread from the earth, min haaretz. He took it. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it. Took, blessed, broke, gave. Took, blessed, broke, gave. At the Last Supper, he took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread and he gave the bread. You know, with the fish and loaves, the Bible says he took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread and he gave the bread. You know, over and over and over. It's a picture of what he does for us. It's a picture of what God did for him. He was the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. You know, God took him. God blessed him. God broke him, multiplied him, broke him so he could give him. Just like the fish and loaves. Just like he's doing here. He took this one loaf of bread and broke it so it would feed more than one. Took, blessed, broke. It's the same thing he does to us. This precious hand of God, this precious hand of Jesus, he takes our life. You know, he takes us. He blesses us. That's the very first thing that we know is that he will take us. He will receive us. He will accept us as an offering. We also know that he will bless us. You know, that's one of the only things that Abraham knew is that God will bless me. That was the covenant, you know. That was the first revelation that I had of Jesus. He would bless me. Many people are still trying to live in that revelation. But that same blessed hand that takes us, that same blessed hand that blesses us, is also that hand that breaks us. If you fall upon the rock, you will be broken, the Bible says. But if it has to fall on you, it will crush you. You know? Multiplies us. So that he may give us, so the light within us might shine forth. It's a picture of what God does for us. God does with us. This same loving, gentle hand. Do you know that according to the scriptures and the overlays and according to the comparisons all throughout the Word of God, including with Jesus. And by the way, we are still in the first coming of Christ. The Jews could not accept the first coming because all the scriptures they read was about deliverance and no more problems. They were reading about the second coming. That's why they had problems with Jesus being, you know, scourged and crucified, arrested. That's why they no longer believed he was Messiah, because they couldn't see a suffering Messiah. We cannot see a suffering moment. We are in the first coming of Christ. And Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. If they hated me, they will hate you. You should never expect to be treated better than Jesus. Okay, I'm not preaching doom and gloom, but I'm trying to get your theology straight, because you can never be fully given if you cannot be truly broken. If you cannot meet God and it change your life, if like Jacob, you know, he wrestled with God. The angel ended up breaking his hip. The Bible says he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Listen, never trust a person that does not walk with a limp. We all are wearing sackcloth. We are all wearing, you know, garments of mourning in our lives. Not to our shame, but to our victory. Because our victory is in Christ. We serve a resurrected Jesus. Powerful. We stand against the wiles of the devil. And we have been given power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we will condemn. This is our heritage. And our righteousness is of the Lord. Yes. But we're fighting a good fight. We're not sitting back on the easy chair, you know, eating the grapes of faith. Well, that was pretty good. Only Jesus could touch that hurting place in their life. They had to let him touch that hurting place with his healing hand. Verse 31, let me read this as we close. Luke 24, 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. He took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, he gave the bread. Then their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those that were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared unto Simon. Verse 35. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Wow. That's how they knew it was him. They recognized him when he broke the bread. That's how we know him. God will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. God will not despise someone who has a broken heart and who earnestly turns to him. Someone whose hope has been robbed, whose disappointments are real, but someone who also remembers their manners to invite him into their house. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. You know, Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. He's talking to us. He's talking to us even when we're going the wrong way, even when we're thinking the wrong thing. He's just trying to get us to see him. Sometimes he needs us more than we realize. Lord God, sir, we ask you to help us, Lord, with our hope. Lord, our hope is in you. It's not in some situation or circumstance. Lord, what we need is between you and us, Lord. God, we offer our lives to you. Change us, Lord, in the ways you need to, Father. Help us to get over our disappointments, God, our devastations, our trauma, our tragedy, our tribulation, Lord. God, heal, Lord, the sick. Father, thank you for your hand of covering and blessing, Lord. Thank you, God, that you care enough to walk with us and to give us your precious time. Lord, I imagine you have better things to do, but yet you don't. You think spending time with me is important. I don't know why. Lord, help us, sir, to realize that you want to talk with us, to give us hope, to use us to give others hope. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for including us. Thank you for giving us. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another dynamic message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.